Now, the epistle appointed to be read for the first Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's epistle, second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Brethren, we do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for he saith, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us give no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed. But in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience and tribulation, in necessities and distresses and stripes and prisons and seditions, in labors and watchings and fastings and chastity and knowledge, in longsuffering and sweetness in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth and the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, through honor and dishonor, through evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. In the Holy Gospel, it's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Who answered and said, "It is written, not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hand shall they bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." The devil then took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these will I give to thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to begin by telling you about a 19th century English poet named Percy Bysshe Shelley. Percy Bysshe Shelley was born in the year 1792 and died tragically in 1822. And I say tragically because Percy Shelley was not even 30 years of age when he was drowned in a boating accident off the coast of the island of Sardinia in the Mediterranean Sea. Most people, however, are more familiar with Shelley's wife, Mary, who was the author of Frankenstein. In fact, Mary Shelley was actually Percy Shelley's second wife. His first wife was Harriet Westbrook. But she died suddenly and unexpectedly in the year 1816. And it was soon after her death that Percy Shelley wrote a poem. And the poem was titled, On Death. I would like to read to you now a few lines from this poem of Percy Shelley. Death is here, and death is there. Death is busy everywhere. all around, within, beneath, above is death, and we are death. Death has set his mark and seal on all we are and all we feel, on all we know and all we hear. First our pleasures die, and then our hopes, and then our fears. And when these are dead, the debt is due. Dust claims dust, and we die too. This poem, my dear people, expresses, first of all, the fact that there is death in this world, and that at every passing moment, someone, somewhere in the world dies. Furthermore, all men, sooner or later, are going to die. And with death, all earthly joys and sorrows, all worldly concerns, as well as all material possessions, are lost and taken from us forever. As Percy Shelley put it, dust claims dust, and we die too. But a truth that Percy Shelley did not write into his poem, a truth that is without any doubt the most important aspect of death, if you will, is that which follows. And that which follows death is the judgment. Each and every individual person, from the very beginning of time to the very last soul that God creates, after their own death, they will appear before our Lord Jesus Christ. And as they stand before him, they will render to him an account of their life. And the only thing, so to speak, from this world that they will bring with them are their good works and their sins. St. Paul, writing on this, says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment." Percy Shelley was not a Catholic. I don't even know if he had any faith. He wrote about the reality of death from a purely natural point of view. St. Paul, however, gives us the supernatural and thus the only point of view in regard to the reality of death that really matters. And he does this to remind us, my dear friends, of the truth of death and the judgment that is to follow, in order to move us to prepare ourselves for that day, a day which is both certain and uncertain. And each year at the beginning of Lent, the beginning of this holy season of Lent, this penitential season, the Church too wishes to remind us of our last end. That is to say, she wishes to remind us of death in order that we may prepare for it. Death is one of the four last things. The four last things are death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And we call them the four last things because they are the four last things that every single person, sooner or later, each one of us here this morning, is going to have to one day confront. And the church puts the thought of death before us in the ceremony of the distribution of ashes. The distribution of ashes is not an empty ceremony, some empty ritual that the church just goes through every year. It is a ceremony full of meaning. The priest imposes blessed ashes upon our foreheads with these words, "Remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return." The ashes thus symbolize the dust which one day the bodies of men shall become. The church does this because she wants her children to consider death, especially during Lent. And why? Not that we may become unduly anxious and filled with inordinate fear, but she does this that we may be moved to sincerely repent of our sins, so that we may be moved to change our lives or to live our lives with greater fervor. She does this so that we will be moved to mind the things of God and His commandments more than the things of this world, to pray with greater devotion, and to remove from our lives those things or those persons which can cause us to fall into mortal sin. Thus St. Paul tells us in today's epistle that now is the acceptable time. Behold, now, he writes, is the day of salvation. And what does the apostle mean by these words? He simply means that during our life here on earth, we must prepare for death and the judgment which is to follow. Everything else we may do comes second to this. We must then work out our eternal salvation here and now, according to our state in life, while we have the time. You know, one day, my dear people, our divine Savior was preaching. He was preaching the gospel in various towns and cities as he was making his way towards Jerusalem. He was approached, St. Luke writes, by a certain man who asked him a very pointed question. The man asked him, "Lord, are they few that are saved?" Lord, are they few that are saved? In other words, is the number of men saved less than the number of men who will be condemned for all eternity? Do you know what our Lord said in response to this question? This is what he said. "Enter ye in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there are who go thereat. How narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth to life, and few there are that find it. You understand, my dear people, what these words mean. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The wide gate and the broad path lead to destruction, that is to hell. And many people go that way. While the narrow gate and the straight path lead to heaven, to everlasting life. But few, our divine Savior said, few find this path and this gate. St. John Chrysostom, St. Thomas Aquinas, and many theologians and commentators on sacred scripture, following Christ's own words, tell us that the majority of men will not be saved, but will be lost for all eternity. And among these great theologians is St. Francis de Sales. Although he was of the opinion that among the few, the majority of true Christians would be saved. But my dear friends, the fact that the majority of men shall be lost is not the opinion of some mere man. It is the divine teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man and the only Savior of the world. It is thus the teaching of the same merciful, sacred heart who desires the salvation of men with an infinite desire. It is the teaching of the same divine good shepherd who in his infinite love for men, his sheep, laid down his life for them. And in his infinite love for his sheep, for all men, he embraced the most excruciating torments and sufferings of body and soul, even death itself. Weeping bitter tears of sorrow while hanging on the cross and shedding his precious blood to the very last drop, offering himself the whole time for the salvation of all men till he drew his very last breath. And thus, if men are lost, it is not because God is not merciful. It is not because God is not good. It is not because God does not love them. It is because they have freely chosen not to love God. They have freely chosen rather to love some person or some created thing more than God. And thus they have freely chosen to reject God, to reject Christ and the salvation he offers. It was in his boundless mercy, an infinite love then for us and for all men, that our good Jesus revealed this sobering and most serious truth, so that men would indeed take him at his word. And yet, my dear friends, how few there are in the world today who take Christ at his word. Do we, Do we, my dear people, do we who have the one true Catholic faith, do we take him at his word? That is, do we treasure our faith? Do we treasure God's gift of sanctifying grace so much that we would freely choose to lose all created things, even our lives, than to lose God's grace and love even for a moment? Do we take him at his word? That is, do we strive to live good Catholic lives? Do we strive to keep his commandments of purity and charity? Do we receive the sacraments with devotion? Do we ever pray for the conversion of poor sinners? Do we ever turn our minds and hearts to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the course of our day and make acts of reparation, acts of love, acts of gratitude, or acts of confidence? Are the things of God of greater importance to us than the things of this world? And do we ever spend part of our day with Our Lady, the Mother of Mercy, by devoutly praying the Rosary? Even at times, if we have to pray our Rosary in the car, do we spend part of our day? Do we welcome her into our lives and our hearts? Behold, St. Paul says, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. May we be ever mindful that God gives us today. He has not promised us tomorrow. And thus each day is given to us to work out our eternal salvation. Each day is given to us to know, to love, and serve God according to our state in life. And if we strive to do this, we can have the utmost confidence in the goodness, in the love, in the mercy of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that we are indeed preparing ourselves for that day on which he shall call us into eternity. May the glorious Saint Joseph, to whom we should often pray, but especially during this month of March dedicated to him, may this great and powerful saint obtain for us the grace to live holy and virtuous lives in the state of sanctifying grace, so that like him, we too may die in the sweet embrace of Jesus and Mary. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.